This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 320. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
It's the Son of 3D gimmick month. Grayson's a Rusky, Titans under the sea, a Mirage reappears, the Owl and the Pussycat take a trip, and the numbers are in. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, September 7th, 2014. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes and leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, we've made it to September, which means it's gimmick month at DC, all designed so you can't compare the apples to apples with the New 52 debut.
But we're getting pretty far away from that debut now.
Yeah, but it's still gimmick month. So last year's 3D covers were such a disaster. So let's do it again.
So were they a disaster sales-wise?
Not sales-wise, but the fans hated it. The dealers hated it. It made a lot of money for DC, but it was very much a money grab. And they all tie into Future's End, which means none of the stories will count, because that's how time travel stories work. In the end, something will happen, so none of this will occur. Otherwise, DC is now tied into... this is going to be continuity 5 years from now, and they'll have to go in that direction.
Well, except that time really isn't linear or even meaningful in the DC universe, because a year in our time isn't a year in the DC universe.
Yeah, I suppose. But still, we all know what's going to, how this is going to end.
Yes, we do. It'll either end with a whimper and piddle out and mean nothing.
Right.
Or there'll be a thing that says, oh, it never really happened at all.
Exactly. The 3D covers are not all that impressive, I didn't think. While the cover is 3D, only a box in the middle of the page actually takes advantage of the 3D. Maybe this was the redesign that DiDio mentioned last year. He said, well, we've got a better way to do it now. Try to avoid all these quality issues that resulted in them throwing away, supposedly, many, many copies because of 3D issues. I think the result is rather muddy. I think it's very hard to see.
You know, and it really doesn't, like, do much.
No, it doesn't. It's not nearly as impressive.
It's not even hardly lenticular or anything.
Yeah. Now, some of the stories, at least from this week, do tie directly into Future's End, but others really seem like slush pile stories that they shoehorned into the Future's End event.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I have this quasi-future Superman story, which you could have done any time.
Yeah.
The only one that really impressed me this week was Grayson Future's End number 1 by King, Seeley, and Mooney. Like all the other stories for Future's End, we are 5 years in the future, and Dick Grayson, as we know, recently became a spy since his Nightwing identity was exposed in Forever Evil. The world thinks he's dead. He's working for this group named Spiral. The story here actually starts at the end and goes backward, with each page starting with the word earlier.
Yeah.
So we're in Russia, where KG Beast, which is an old Batman villain, used this war that they're all referring to in Future's End to become the great leader of Russia and, in fact, take over Eurasia. And the Spiral organization apparently helped him do it. Dick and Helena are an item, and both have done things they're ashamed of in their spy work.
Now, see, this is where the first thing that kind of struck me is... there haven't been enough issues of Grayson to establish Helena as a character.
No.
So this didn't work too much for me because of that.
Yeah, the timing in this is really terrible. So Dick, kills KG Beast in order to make amends for what he was ashamed of, and then he's hung for his betrayal. And then we continue going backward all the way to Dick and Barbara being together as Nightwing and Batgirl, and we learn why she rejected him, because he needs someone as dark as Dick is and as Bruce is, and Helena fits the bill. We even see his earlier days as Robin and how his parents were killed. So we go basically all the way back to the beginning. I thought it was a very satisfying story and a very interesting way to tell it, even if it doesn't count in the end.
It was, yeah.
Now maybe something a bit lighter. Teen Titans Return to the Treehouse number 4 by Baltazar and Franco. This kid-friendly miniseries continues. Robin hears that there's a new treehouse in Atlantis, so they do some scuba training with Lagoon Boy, which doesn't do well because they're in the lagoon. They're not in an ocean.
It's only 4 feet deep.
Yeah, he's not Ocean Boy. Barbara asked her dad, a.k.a. Commissioner Gordon, to get Batman to loan him a bat sub, and there's this great fist bump between Gordon and Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
There's a quick reference to the Batgirl revamp costume. As is what's about to happen in the mainline DC.
Yes.
And then they're off. And under the sea, they meet Aqualad and Topo, while Miss Martian, Beast Boy, and Offspring follow in a boat made of Offspring. Aquaman shows up, who just defeated Black Manta. He goes through what is essentially the Filmation narration. He meets Aqua Cow for the first time. I'm amazed he hadn't met Aqua Cow until now.
But is it really an Aqua Cow if it needs a rebreather underwater? Then he's just a scuba diving cow.
Scuba Cow. And he invites the kids over for some dessert. And they end up finding the new treehouse, but it is underwater, and Babs has to get home for dinner, so it's not very practical.
Yeah. So next issue, probably another treehouse.
One in space, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Didn't they already do space? I thought they already did space.
No, maybe. This is, again, a very cute title. The Death-Defying Dr. Mirage number 1 from Valiant by Van Meter, De La Torre, and Baron. Valiant was a 90s comic book publisher that's now making a comeback in the last year or two. They're taking these original characters that were created back then and updating them for the modern, much more modern age. I think it's safe to say that we really enjoyed the original Dr. Mirage series.
It was the second life of Dr. Mirage.
Yes.
And there's a neat callback to that in here, mm-hmm. in that the main characters had a TV show that was called The Second Lives with Dr. Mirage,
right.
or something like that.
Right. It was created by Bob Layton and Bernard Chang. They're married investigators of the paranormal. And husband Huen is attacked in some sort of supernatural battle and becomes an energy being who now can't touch his wife Carmen. And there's stories both supernatural and domestic. And it was a nice blend there of these way out supernatural stories and then just how they can have
a marriage yeah.
when they can't literally touch each other. And we were thrilled to hear it was coming back, but it's not quite the same. Dr. Shan Mirage is still a paranormal investigator and can talk to the dead, except for her husband, Huen, who was killed.
But he was killed in some mysterious supernatural battle, I think.
Right, except now he's...
But maybe they're leading up to him coming back.
Right, that's the hope. She's reluctant to take jobs in the paranormal area, because she just wants to see Huen again. So she gets a job from a billionaire who needs help with an artifact and apparently an alien he has chained up in the basement. We cut to this multi-page Golden Age-esque story of the Black Mask, who is actually this billionaire who tracks down artifacts before the Nazis and the commies get them. And I loved all that. All those references. Oh, we got to stop with the commies. And we get a lot of filler material where there's a listing of the members of this paranormal science group. And I assume some of these names are callbacks to the original series. But it's been so long, I'd have to go and dig it up to find out. There is that ad for a paranormal show with Dr. Mirage. And then there's this codex of weird creatures. Again, I assume this is more of a tease as to what we're going to see in future issues.
Right. This was, to me, seems very Buffy-esque with the whole list of demons that you might run into and that sort of thing.
Mm. So back to the story. Shan collects the billionaire's artifacts because she has to do some research on them. So is she doing it to help him or to find her dead husband? And it's kind of looks like it's more of the latter. Interesting story, although I don't know if I liked all the particular filler in here. From what I can tell, this was like, it was referred to as a plus edition of the first issue. And I think some of that stuff was not in the regular copy.
Right. So maybe future ones will just be comics without the extra stuff.
Right. So other than the names, it's not very much at all like the original series. This is very much a revamp.
Yeah, it's true. The original series was almost, I would say, a lighter comic.
Right. Definitely lighter than this.
It was still very good. I'm going to give this one a couple issues to try it out, but... Mm-hmm. I liked the old one.
Ferris number 29 from Vertigo by Buckingham and Braun. So we're coming down to the conclusion of this series, and there's multiple stories going on. We have Renard the Fox in the Deep South, who was trapped, and he escapes by basically going back and forth between fox and human. He starts a fire in the barn as a distraction to save the damsel in distress, but it turns out she wasn't actually in distress, as the evil brothers that we saw in the previous issues are actually okay. They're not evil. They're just really protective of her. So Renard actually kidnapped her instead of saving her.
Yeah. Poor Renard.
Back on the farm, Rose is informed about Bigby, because again, this is more of a fable story than an actual Ferris story. Just kind of a side thing that's going on for the main final fable story.
Right. This is I guess my complaint about the book right now is it really is like fables 0.5.
Exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. It is very much, you might as well just be putting out two issues of fables a month because that's what you're doing. One just happens to be called Ferris. And the magicians have created the glamours that all the denizens of the farm want. And the lottery is now underway as to who's going to get a glamour and get to leave the farm. While the owl worries about the pussycat from the fairy tale, the owl and the pussycat.
The owl and the pussycat went to sea in a beautiful pea green boat. They sailed away for a year and a day. Okay.
Renard's stories of the outside world makes the pussycat long to leave the farm and see the world. But of course, they need to win the lottery to do that. But the owl decides to take her on a trip while still staying at the farm. And his friends kind of help out to make it seem like they're going around the world when they're just actually staying there. I'm really enjoying this story. It's a real shame this title is ending.
Yeah, well, I guess. Yeah. I guess there may be a reason for that.
Yeah.
Now, before we move on, Mark, I just want to tell our listeners that they may have been seeing ads for the Green Lantern Godhead coming up.
Oh, yes.
And we are not going to be reading that. We are skipping all Green Lantern issues until that's over.
We're officially boycotting it because it's another meaningless crossover that will have no impact. It'll be forgotten a month after it's over.
And trying to read the titles that we do get during it is probably going to be very confusing.
Right, because we only get about half of the Green Lantern titles.
Yeah.
I don't get Red Lanterns. I don't get Sinestro. I don't get Green Lantern Corps. Because you can't get all, 58 Green Lantern titles that are out there right now. It's ridiculous.
So we're going to get none of them for about 2 months.
Right.
So you won't hear any Green Lantern from us.
And frankly, we don't talk about Green Lantern that much on the show anyways.
Yeah.
Well, the numbers are in for July. I want to thank Diamond and ComicsBeat.com. We have, again, this is the top 300 in sales for the month of July. Number two was Batman at 117,000. This is the finale of year zero. That's why that did so well. Number seven, Justice League, 88,000, which is not being helped at all by all the delays, I think. It would be doing far better. Number 8 is Grayson at 81K, but that was a number 1 issue, so it's very hard to base anything on that. Number 10, Harley Quinn at 76K. Harley Quinn has become DC's version of Deadpool. Put her in a title and the numbers are up. And will probably be overused fairly quickly, and then people will get tired of her.
I think so.
Number 13, Sandman Overture at 72K. Keep in mind, the number 1 issue of this miniseries was 103,000.
But that was like 6 months ago.
Yes. I think people have officially given up this title and are just waiting for the trade. Number 14, Superman Unchained at 68K. It is down 74% in 7 issues, and it is actually going to wind out its run. Number 16, Harley Quinn Invades San Diego Comic-Con, 64,000. See Deadpool. Number 17, 18, 22, and 23 is Batman Eternal at 63K, 63K, 62K, and 61K. That title certainly seems to have stabilized.
Well, it's great. It's going down just a little bit
with
each issue.
Yeah, but that's a very small drop over 4 issues. And in number 19 is Superman at 62K. That's, of course, still riding on the whole John's Romita storyline. Number 21, Detective Comics at 62K. At the other end, number 250, Batwing, 8,300 copies. And that is ending in September. And Phantom Stranger at 11K. And that, of course, is going to be absorbed into the new Trinity of Sin title. So there will be no more Pandora and Phantom Stranger titles. And presumably we'll start to actually get into the Question title, which I think they were going to do and they just never got around to.
The other weekly that we have is falling somewhere under the top 20.
Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah. So before we get out here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Mark, I'm going to give you 2 hints.
Ooh.
Okay. The first one I've already told you, and
yes,
that is this is not the fall preview edition.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is there are 3 different covers.
Ooh, okay.
3 different collector covers.
Okay.
All right. Go.
TV related?
Yes.
Is it all people from one show?
No.
Okay, is it all people from one network?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the network is pay cable?
No.
It's regular cable?
No.
It's broadcast?
Yes.
Wow. Rare broadcast cover.
Indeed.
Okay, so and they're all on the same network?
Yes. Said?
Okay, are they all comedies?
Yes.
But they're 3 different shows?
No.
Oh, they're all, I didn't say, one show then?
No.
So there's 2 shows
yes.
in one show?
No. There's 2 shows.
2 shows, and there's 3 covers.
Yes.
Okay. So there's 2 shows. Is it a 60-minute show?
No.
30-minute show, so it's a sitcom.
Yes.
It's a sitcom, and it's but it's 2 different shows.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Is the network CBS?
No.
Is it ABC?
No.
Is it NBC?
No.
Is it Fox?
Yes.
Okay, it's Fox and 2 different shows that are sitcoms on Fox. So, The Simpsons? Is it maybe?
One of them.
One of The Simpsons and the other is Family Guy?
Yes.
Hey, because of the crossover.
Because of the crossover. So on one cover
is Homer.
Homer and the dad.
And the dad.
From America.
Oh, I see.
Or from Family Guy, Brian, right? No, or I don't know. I don't watch Family Guy. And then they have Bart and Stewie
right.
and Lisa and
Meg. Yeah.
On the cover, so.
Very nice.
You would have never gotten that one if I hadn't given you clues.
No, that would have been too darn hard.
I'm going to turn off the timer now.
Okay.
And I'm going to say you got it, even though I think I gave you a lot of help.
Yeah, you gave me a lot of help on that one. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or check out our Tumblr at tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, Or you can call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.